We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins and research historian from the Hassfer office on Fort Riley, Carolyn Sibley. We're talking about the Buffalo Soldier Traveling Exhibit that's currently on display at the Riley County Historical Museum. And Carolyn, I might just ask you a little bit more about the Hassfer office and what you guys do out there.
Yeah, so Hassfer is a volunteer-run organization on Fort Riley that focuses a lot on the education and celebration of Riley history. And we put on events like Apple Day and ghost tours and tour of homes, which are kind of our big ticket items that a lot of people know about. But we also do quarterly historic chats, which is what my position is. So we find something to focus on, we do all the research, and we do little chats about it. So the Buffalo Soldier exhibit was our last one last year. That was kind of our main to-do. That was my passion project, basically, that I did on last year's board. And this year, the one we've got coming up in April is going to talk about the cholera epidemic on Fort Riley, which is interesting because it was an isolated event. It wasn't part of the kind of four big waves of cholera that went across the U.S. And I think cholera is extremely interesting because a lot of people don't realize that without all those cholera epidemics, we wouldn't have the level of sanitation we do now.
We didn't have to act.
Yeah. We had to find a way to be clean. Yeah. But so Hassfer, all the money that we earn, we try and put back into our community. So we do a lot of work with like the scholarship funds that are on post. We do donations to local organizations, and then, so like last year, we donated the money to put new cellar doors on the first territorial building on Fort Riley to try and weatherproof it a little bit more, because they were having a lot of issues with that sort of thing. And then we do footprint projects, which are our kind of big ticket item monetary-wise, and also kind of bringing the focus to Riley history. So if you're on Fort Riley and you see the placards in front of buildings that give you like the history, that's one of the big things that we do, trying to get more information out to people.
All right. I see we have a caller here who has a question, so let me get to them real quick. Robert from Manhattan, go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation on the Army and the changes in society. Next month, when we're blessed with your visit again, can you bring us information on that 1913 pandemic flu and then 50 years later the 1963 flu that swept through, and now here 50 years later we're overdue. And, you know, if we don't learn from the past, we're bound to repeat the mistakes over again. Thank you so much for your presentation.
I'll see what I can find. You're right, that's a timely discussion and an interesting subject, so we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with that coronavirus just
right. That's exactly what
right
I was
now.
Thinking. That pandemics are not necessarily a thing of the past.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I know times were a lot different here. And this is mostly from about 100 years ago. What did segregation look like back then?
So Kansas is kind of an interesting state to take on because, you know, obviously it was a free state. But it's still kind of in the South. It's still very agrarian. You still get segregation.
Right.
There was an article I found in one of the old, I can't remember if it was the Manhattan paper or it was the Junction City. I think it was probably Junction City, talking about how during World War I, when they had Camp Funston, mm-hmm. I was about to say Forsyth, I knew that was wrong. And, you know, they were building up this huge training area, and they had this huge influx of soldiers, which obviously then led to the flu pandemic. There was a lot of discord in Manhattan and Junction City with the influx of African-American soldiers. And one of the – his name was General Ballou, and he actually had to put out a bulletin to Fort Riley saying, listen, sorry, but – if you're an African-American soldier, you can't leave post anymore, just because they were worried that it would incite too much violence and distraction in the local community, which I thought it was very interesting because it's like, you know, you want to think that they issued this bulletin to try and keep the soldiers safe and keep everyone appeased, But you also have to wonder how much of it, too, was racism and how much of it was like, okay, yeah, we'll just go along with what they're saying because it's easier than trying to push it.
Yeah.
Right. Racism's been with us throughout time. Yeah. And you mentioned that the Buffalo Soldiers were not allowed to live on post.
I don't have a lot of proof, but I've been told that...
Or many lived in Junction City.
Yeah, that there was segregated housing in Junction City. I assume some lived on post, especially like AIDS and whatnot, so they were close. But yeah, so I was told that there's segregated housing in Junction City, and based on some of the photos we have in the exhibit, there looks like I've seen a few houses in Junction City that look exactly like those, and I'm like, I bet those are it. And they're back by the police station. I don't know what that road is, but it's on that road.
So that would be an interesting topic to research a little bit and get more background. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Geary County Museum will look into that a little bit.
And I know the Buffalo Soldier chapter in Junction City is wanting to do more stuff like that to create more education and awareness about it all.
I think it's interesting because the Buffalo Soldiers have such a strong Kansas connection. You mentioned Kansas Day is coming up, mm-hmm. January 29th. And, of course, they were founded at Fort Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, the 10th Cavalry Unit, which is, I think, kind of the icon of Buffalo Soldiers. That originally started in Fort Leavenworth, and then they kind of bounced back between Riley and Leavenworth until they were disbanded.
And that Indian Wars...
They were mainly frontier soldiers, so they did a lot of interaction with the Native Americans, and then they also were kind of the guards for a lot of the frontier trails of, you know, making it west.
Right, and of course that was one of Fort Riley's major missions, mm-hmm. was to guard the Oregon and Santa Fe trails.
Founded as a frontier post. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, those who survived and ended their service here, did a lot of them stay in the area in Kansas?
I mean, from what I saw, it looks like a lot did. I mean...
That would be an interesting research question as well.
I mean, coming from not being a Kansas, I feel like Kansas is pretty generic, race-wise. But, I mean, if you get over, to Kansas City, there's a huge African-American population, and I think... Well, you see after the Civil War, a lot of people moving to the more cosmopolitan centers. Mm-hmm. So I don't think if they stayed, they would probably, start farms out here on the prairie. They'd probably move to the more populated industrial cities.
That would be a very interesting research question. But yeah. I'm assuming that probably some of the population that we have.
Well, given the diaspora after the Civil War, I doubt they would... go back south.
Yeah, no doubt.
It was not a very attractive place for
an American
after the Civil War, especially after 1877.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know they had to deal with a lot of hardship, even from within. I was just watching a movie this weekend that I'd never seen. It's very popular. Remember the Titans, the football movie.
Oh, yeah.
And same type of topic, racial integration here. That was only in the 1970s when that was taking place. But, we tend to, when integration takes place here, we see here history just continues to repeat itself. People don't want to accept others, even if they are fighting the same cause.
Right. Well, and I mean, Topeka, Brown v. Board, that's, the landmark case that ended segregation in schools. So Kansas has a lot of role in racial history in the U.S.
And the military does, with the end of segregation, I think, in 1948.
Mm-hmm, under Truman.
And as you were mentioning, the Buffalo Soldiers, this was a good job, and they clearly were committed to it.
Mm-hmm. They gained a lot of respect for their community and I think showed a lot of people that, just because they were relegated to slavery doesn't mean that's all they could do.
Right. And, of course, in the military, it's provided opportunities for many, many, many years.
Where did the term Buffalo Soldier come from?
So we don't know exactly where it came from, but we know the Native Americans who they interacted with on the frontier are who coined it. So there's a lot of speculation of, maybe it was because their hair is similar to the texture of buffaloes, or they wore buffalo skin coats because the waterproofing, which I feel like that's probably closer to it. And then there's also their fierceness in battle reminded Native Americans of just the buffalo in general. Okay. So lots of speculation, but we know it came from the Native Americans.
I think if you're out riding in Kansas weather, a buffalo skin coat sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, most definitely. That's a winner for sure.
Yeah, and of course they did. I mean, they were cavalry, mm-hmm. So they were on horse. And
they were very effective soldiers.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great exhibit. And you mentioned it's at the Riley County Historical Museum now. And how long will it be there?
Until April.
Okay, so we got some time to check it out here. When are you guys open over there?
We're at 2309 Claflin Road, and we're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 5, and admission is free.
Okay, well, it sounds like a great exhibit here. And Carolyn, it sounds like you've got some great photos there that people can come take a look at, and just a wonderful exhibit.
We really appreciate the Historical and Archaeological Society of Fort Riley for allowing us to have it.
We're glad to get it out there.
Well, we appreciate you coming out and telling us a little bit more about it. And Cheryl, I guess we'll talk to you again next month. Carolyn, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus. I'm going to talk Sunset Zoo after this on News Radio KMAN.